Psalm 119, as Leroy knows, for about the last how many months? There's 22 of them, by the way. There's 22 sections to Psalm 119, and just like there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so we've been preaching on that because just because God said to, and He said, don't quit halfway, don't quit when you're almost there, don't quit on two Sundays before Christmas. He said, go ahead and just keep doing it. Pastor Jim will probably preach on Christmas next week. Of course, y'all know most of the sermons on Christmas anyway, don't you? I mean, I think you've heard most of them before. We're not even sure Jesus was born on Christmas. We just know I'm just grateful that the whole world stops on December 25th. Whether Jesus was born on December 25th or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is He came. Amen. Well, y'all doing it right. Well, that's fine. It's okay. Well, y'all doing it on a pagan holiday. Well, choose another one. Tell me. I mean, you're going to argue about when He was born anyway. Half of you think He was born in Rosh Hashanah. Half of you think He was born on first fruits. You know, we don't know when He was born. You can just pick any day. Amen? Yeah. It's like the Sabbath. I think the Sabbath is every day. Amen? The Sabbath is every day. I'm now living every day in a Sabbath rest.
Amen.
He says, labor to enter into His rest. Not just on Saturday.
Amen.
How about Sunday? How about Monday? How about Tuesday? Most of you need to rest on Monday. Now, I'm not telling you to take a day off. But I'm saying that most of you need to rest on Monday because you're anticipating stress. Isn't that right? Oh, my goodness. There's Monday again. Unless you work at Walmart and then you're working 7 days a week. Where's Jeff? You know, I just said that. You know, but I realize I've got a guy in here who manages a Walmart. So, I mean, that's 7 days a week. I don't think he's working 7 days a week, but, you know, Walmart wasn't open 24 hours a day when Sam was alive. Somebody figured out it was a great idea to let's just open this thing up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So maybe you'd probably get more out of your folks if you rested like Chick-fil-A. I'm having my doubts about them, though, so that's okay. What that tells me is you can't trust man. Amen? Well, at least we got somebody who's living a godly life. Well, you know what? I think you just need to just walk with Jesus yourself and quit depending on people. Psalm 118 says it's better to trust in God than to trust in man, isn't it?
Amen?
I mean, don't even give him a chance. Don't even give man a chance because he'll disappoint you. I'll disappoint you. I probably have. I don't even show up half the time, you know, when I'm supposed to. So, you guys, don't depend on me. Pastor Jim tries to tell you don't depend on him. Y'all do. I'm sure somebody gets disappointed. Anybody ever been disappointed? Never mind. Don't answer that question. But we are very, very far along into our study of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 written by David. It's divided up into eight verse stanzas, every one. It's almost like a miracle. Every one of them is divided up into exactly eight verses. That's 176 times 20, divided by 22. That's eight verse stanzas. And it's powerful because every verse it talks about the Word of God. Amen. Every verse in Psalm 119 talks about the Word of God. As I'm studying this thing and looking through it, I'm looking for the word precepts, because precepts is one of those references to the Word of God. We have references like His law, His word, His testimonies, His judgments, His statutes, His precepts, His word, all of these things. Precepts, how many know precepts in a plural sense only shows up about 15 or 20 times in the Old Testament, in the Scripture, in the whole Scripture, and 90% of those occurrences are in Psalm 119.
Amen.
Yeah.
Very few occurrences of the word precepts. There's precepts in Isaiah. You've heard me preach on that before. I'd look it up in Psalm 20. It's in Isaiah 28, and he talks about how that we are trained by His precepts, and those precepts are to us line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. That's how you get the Word. You get the Word of God by line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Well, can I just have a crash course? No. You cannot have a crash course. Yet this is a lifetime learning. This is lifetime learning, is the Word of God. Amen? All right, if you look over at Psalm 119, we're in the section that is titled, with the Hebrew letter, called Resh. Everybody say Resh.
Resh.
All right, the only two we're lacking is Shin and Tav. That's the only two we're lacking. We'll get to those. That'll probably be next year. All right, so Resh, it begins in verse 153. And what we do is we go through these verses individually, and we take them and we open them up, and we look at the rest of the Scripture and find out what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, so that we can have the Word of God powerfully in our hearts and strengthen us. All right. So Psalm 119 verse 153 says, "Consider my affliction." So David is talking to the Lord. He's saying, "Consider my affliction and deliver me." And then, but he has this answer already to himself, because the answer is always the Word of God. This is like a poem, and the answer, the second part of every line, is always an inference to the Word of God. It's directing you to His promise. How many know God made a promise? The reason we live is because of a promise. Because the reason Jesus Christ came is a promise that God made to Himself. Remember Abraham? God made a promise to Himself, and He provided a sacrifice. He commanded in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, is that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. That was the first messianic promise.
Amen.
First messianic promise. And then it came to Abraham. He's just looking for somebody who would believe. Amen. Just looking for somebody who will believe. Is that you?
Amen.
Praise and say amen. You know, and the only reason you believe is because God gave you a gift. Amen? You couldn't even pull this off yourself. It's as if you were smart. I'm not. Somehow or another, God reached me and He said, "I want you to believe me. I want you to trust me.
Amen.
I want you to come and be in my family." You know, we got people who run it all the time. Even Christians, we run all the time, don't we? We run all the time. You know, we got a better way of doing things. I know I do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know Dolores does. She's got a better way. She's got a whole better way of doing things. She tells God every day, this would be better if we do it this way. Now Walter used to be afraid to tell God what would be better, but he's not anymore. He goes into God and tells Him every day, you know, what would be better. But he's listening to the Holy Spirit. He's not afraid of the Holy Spirit. It's good not to be afraid of God.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. It's good not to be afraid of God. Jesus took all the trouble. He took all of it upon Himself. And you have an open door to come into the kingdom of God. You have an open door to come into the presence of God. Right? I mean, every single day. Don't be afraid to do that. A lot of us, we don't do it because we're afraid. We're afraid God's going to tell us to do something we don't want to do. That'd been me. Amen? Isn't that right, Danny? You're afraid God's going to tell you to do something you'd do. Well, gosh, I'd planned something else. Yeah, that's right. And you're probably right in the middle of hanging something, and then He speaks. You know, you're in the middle of something that you don't want to be interrupted by, and then that's when God speaks. He kind of catches you off guard. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You didn't have time to prepare for that. But He says here in verse 153, He says, "Consider my affliction." David says to the Lord, "Consider my affliction and deliver me." Consider. So he's trusting that God is going to, God is going to come and take a look at the circumstance and situation, and He is going to deliver him. And he says here, because I do not forget your law. What does that mean? It means your law is going to deliver me. How can a law deliver? How can a law deliver? His promise, His word, His law is His promise. His law is His promise. Amen? The law doesn't tell you. I mean, we find out in Galatians that the law wasn't for you. It was for Jesus. And Jesus kept the law. But you get all the promises. You get all the benefit. Amen? I get all the benefit because the law has already been kept. And so David says, "Lord, consider my affliction and deliver me." Boy, that's rather bold. As if, you know, he's not like afraid that God's going to pull a list of things that he forgot to do out.
Amen.
Right? He's not afraid that God's going to pull that list out. You know, a lot of us, you know, our husbands or our wives pull the list out, or our boss, or even friends pull that list out of things that we didn't quite get done. You know, God will never do that. He will never do that. He's never going to pull a list out on you of things you didn't do, forgot to do, because he knows you can't do anything.
Or we pull a list out ourselves.
You know, we pull that list out. You know, we go to the end of the epistle. Well, here's what it looks like to be a Christian. We need to go to the front of the epistle. It says, all blessings belong to you. And then once all the blessings belong to you, then all the work gets done. Does that make sense? All the work. You read the first part of those are letters you're reading, right? Epistle, the letter to the Ephesians, the letter to the Colossians, the letter to the Philippians. You read those letters, and you read the letter from the front to the back. First you get the greeting, then you get the good news, then you get what the good news does.
Amen.
The end of the letter is not, you don't go to chapter 4 to find out, okay, what am I supposed to be doing? And skip the front part which says Jesus did it all.
Yeah.
You don't skip the front part where Jesus did it all. You start with the front part. And David's doing that. He said, Lord, consider, he's boldly coming in, Lord, consider my affliction and deliver me. For I do not forget thy law. It's not a good work that he has done. That for not forgetting the law, listen to me, it's not a good work that he did. Lord, pay me a wage.
Amen.
Lord, pay me off because I did good. No, it's the fact that when he says, I do not forget thy law, is your law is on the inside of me. Your promise is on the inside of me. And I'm just calling on what I know that my dad told me he's already done. Amen?
Amen.
He's calling on what I'm calling on what God's already done. I'm calling on what my Father has already done. What's already been done in heaven is being done on earth. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget thy law. I haven't forgotten your promise. I haven't forgotten your promise. You know, around here we preach that the law is law can be looked at. Most people look at the law like, hey, do this. But the law says this, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It sounds like a promise to me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, thank you. Thou shalt not kill. Leah, thou shalt not kill. You were hoping that God would give you that promise.
Amen.
Thou shalt not covet. Oh, that's a promise. You know, I was starting to, but then God said, that's not you. That's not who you are.
Amen.
See, before it was a law, now it's a promise. So in Christ Jesus, it's already done, isn't it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Doesn't mean God doesn't like holiness. It's just you don't perform it. Jesus does it.
Lord.
So when you walk in the presence of Jesus, He does the. He's holy. He's yeah. holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And who lives on the inside of you?
Christ.
Jesus does. So you're going to be holy as He is holy. You shall be holy, for I am holy. What the? Sounds like a good promise to me.
Amen.
Over in, I'm going to give you some references here. Psalm 9:13. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Oh man, there's some haters out there. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death.
Amen.
He lifts me up. And so there's trouble, but God, He has mercy.
Yes.
And His mercy is not like just being not giving you what you deserve, but His mercy actually takes care of your path before you. It transforms the path before you. It creates a straight path when there's a crooked path. And sometimes you might need a crooked path instead of a straight path. You ever notice that? Sometimes you might need a crooked path. A straight path might take you in through trouble. Maybe a good path. You know, sometimes when you're driving on the highway, it's better to take a back road. I've been down 35 and that thing just locked up, you know, like tight as it can be. But you take the back road and it's like, okay, hey, this is great. And there's cows and, you know, we can see all kinds of great things going on that back road. And God will sometimes take you on a back road. Amen?
Amen.
Are you happy with that? Well, yeah. No, I was planning on getting there. I think GPS is great. I mean, you can see that red line, you know, when you're going down that straight road. And say, oh, I better get off of here. You know? But the other, just trusting God wherever you're going. Always rejoice. And I know it's like me too. It's going, oh man, how come, this is going to take forever. But it's okay. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. You know, let's just, what he said, let's just rejoice.
Amen.
Everybody, let's rejoice right now. Say, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Now remember the big trouble. Remember the one that you were thinking of right before you got here. And say, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
It got a little quieter. No, you know, when everything is going wrong, he's going to make it all right. Amen? He's the God of the mountain, and he's the God of the valley. He's God of everywhere. Hallelujah. All right, Psalm 119. So, you know, a lot of times these references that I come back to on whatever I'm preaching on is another reference to Psalm 119 somewhere else, because he just repeats and repeats and repeats these same promises. Psalm 119 verse 95 says, "The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I consider your testimonies." I'll consider your testimonies. So I'm not considering the testimony of the wicked or what things look like going down the road. I'm considering his testimonies. So when trouble's coming, I'm considering his testimony. What, just, Lord, say that again. Say that again. Speak to me. Tell me how you love me. Tell me how my girls, everything is going to be okay with them. Tell me how you made a promise that everything's going my way and that everything's going to be set in place for me because you made a promise. Amen? Now somebody might say, you know, well, your granddaughters have got some trouble in their limbs and what all, that type of thing. Well, you know, God hadn't fixed that yet. Sure he has. Sure he has. The reason first place he fixes problems is in my heart. Amen. First place he fixes problems is in my head. Amen? And causing me to rejoice and to sing praise and to give thanks. Even looking at my own failure, the first place God works on me is in me. Amen? He might not even work on your enemy. He might just work on you first.
Amen.
He might just work on you first to get you to love. Say, you love your enemies, don't you? Say, well, doggone it. I'm not quite sure. No, I do love my enemies. He said, pray for them that despitefully use you. They despitefully used me. That's usually the biggest complaint, is somebody despitefully used you. Do you even know what that means? Sounds bad. Sounds like somebody talked bad about you behind your back. Or they fired you from your job. Or you were afraid they were going to fire you. Because they're just mean anyway. But not Tom. He's not. No, you're not going to. No. You shall not die. But you shall live and declare the
Amen.
Glory of the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
A lot of people just die inside. You know, like the walking dead. Amen? You're just walking around disappointed, angry. I don't know where I meant to get to this thing. But people walk around dead on the inside. They're just angry. They're just hateful.
Yeah.
They're just mean because they don't know they're loved. They don't know their love. They don't know the love of God. Because when the love of God comes in and transforms you, then you're totally at peace. You don't need anything else. He that drinks the drink that I shall give him, the water that I'll give him, will never thirst again.
Amen.
I don't thirst anymore. Now, it might come up, my flesh might come up and go, oh, I think I'm a little thirsty. But the Holy Spirit comes. And as we stay in the Word, as we stay in His promise, He will always remind us that I'm always here and I'm always taking care of you. I'm always taking care of you. I don't care if you're 10 years old, 20 years old, 50, 70, 80. It doesn't matter how old you are. God says He's taking care of you right where you are. I always like preaching to kids like Brenna, you know, and just reminding them that, you know, see, I got my new eyes and I can't quite see if that's Brenna or Grant.
Brenna.
Oh, okay. I'm just kidding. Anybody can see that. All right, so, but God loves you and cares for you and He's taking care of you. And when you're growing up and you're in school, you run into people. It's like adults, but you know, kids are mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Some of them nice, but I mean, they're just like little kids. You know, they just punch you for no good reason, and a lot of times they punch you with words, isn't that right? And they punch you with treating you ill in front of your friends. But you learn how to trust God. You learn how to trust the Holy Spirit. You learn how to listen to the Word of God and listen to the promises of God. That's why I tell people, Psalm 119 changed my life.
Amen.
Psalm 119 changed my life. Amen?
Amen.
Because he's just showing me that His Word It addresses just so many circumstances and so many places that I could complain or that I could think that God didn't come through. And He does. He does. He comes through all the time. Amen? Something I pulled out of here is deliverance is not a reward for good works. Listen. He says, consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Deliverance, listen, is not a reward for good works, but it's a promise fulfilled. Deliverance is not a reward for doing the right thing. He doesn't reward you with deliverance just because you did the right thing. God fulfilling His promise. I just believe He made a promise to me. And what if I mess up? What if I don't do it right? What if I make the wrong turn? What if I make the wrong turn? God will cover it. He's going to cover it. See, people like to put on you. Job's friends, for instance. You remember those guys? Remember Job's friends? Here, we know what's wrong here. We know exactly what happened and why God did all that stuff He did to you. And Job's like, I asked God, and that's not it. That's not it. And he was right. It wasn't it. I said, God just taking some time to take you on a detour, show you some cows. He's taking you on a detour, and he's going to show you some things you didn't know before. Isn't that good? He wants to show you things. The scripture that I was given when I was young in a church, a couple, and they ministered prophetically. And Janet, I don't know, Janet's gone. I don't even know if she knew this. It's a brother and sister. Their last name was Urchenko. Wow. I think they were from Eastern Europe. Yeah. Brother and sister Urchenko. And both of them came to me and gave me the scripture. Said in Jeremiah 33:3, said, call unto me. This I was like 16 years old. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Call to me. And I want to tell you that scripture. Call to me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. That's not God's promise just to me, even though they brought it to my attention. I'm bringing it to your attention, okay? So, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. And I say that's true. That's happened. That's been the case. That's been the case for me. I didn't know Janet. He showed me her. But many other things he showed me. All right, keep going. So, we may not make it all the way through, and we should. Verse 154 says, plead my cause. I mean, it's pretty bold. You know, pleading my cause, that sounds like a lawyer. You're calling for an attorney. Lord, plead my cause. How many know Jesus is your attorney before the throne?
Amen.
He's your advocate. He's the one that's arguing on your behalf. You come in, I mean, you're looking bad. But you're coming in and Jesus says, no, this one's under my promise. God says, you sure? It doesn't look like that. It just doesn't look good at all. No, so Jesus said, no. It's all covered under my blood. Okay, well, tell them to come on in. So you're all covered by the blood of Jesus. How many know the judgment seat of Christ is not about what you did or didn't do? The judgment seat of Christ is whether you believed that Jesus was your Savior and Lord. Amen. And that He took all of your sin. That's the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen?
Amen? Amen. And somebody said, well, I don't know, brother, they're going to show that movie. You remember that movie they're going to show of every idle word and everybody's going to be watching? With popcorn, you know. Yeah, look, that was Danny. No, they're going to be saying, look, that was David. Everything he did, you thought he was a man of God. Well, this is not good. You know, the glory of that, that would seem like that would be the glory of that moment, is just to see everybody's sin. That sounds like us, doesn't it? Well, what does Jesus want to do? He wants to cover that. Jesus wants to cover your sin, doesn't he? Love covers a multitude of sins. And boy, don't I have them. Lord, I need a cover. So he does. He covers you. He covers you. Are you feeling good now? Are you feeling good? All your sins are washed away. All your sins are covered. Blessed is, happy is the man whose sin is covered.
Amen.
Whose iniquity is purged. That's me. That's Ray. Praise the Lord. So plead my cause, David says to the Lord, and deliver me. Quicken me according to your word. Now look here in 1 Samuel 24:15 says, the Lord therefore be judge and judge between. This is David and Saul. So, by the way, this is David and Saul. David talking to Saul. The Lord be therefore be judge. This is after he came up behind him and cut the piece off his tunic while he was indisposed. And he could have killed him. And Saul was still out to kill him, you know. And so the Lord, so David says, the Lord therefore be the judge and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause and deliver me out of thine hand. So David's not going to deliver himself. He's going to depend on God. He's going to plead my, he says, plead my case, plead my cause. And Lord, you do the fight for me. You be my lawyer. You be the one that comes to court for me and pleads my case and gets me off. Isn't that great? So, you know you're guilty, right? Everybody understand that. You're guilty. There's nothing that you can do to get out of that. But Jesus came and he said, you know what? I've already taken care of it. If you just trust me, put your faith in me, put your faith in my finished work, then I'm delivering you. So David's just calling on that right now. Micah chapter 7. Anybody ever read that? Micah chapter 7, verse 9. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. So that's what's coming to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. I'm in trouble until he comes to plead my cause. Here comes the good lawyer. Here's the good lawyer. He's coming to plead my until he comes and plead my cause and executes judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness.
Amen.
You can write that. That's Micah, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 9. You can take that one and go write it down and put it in your Bible and study it. Put it in your notes. Psalm 71, 20 and 21 says, thou which hast showered me or showed me great and sore troubles. Anybody seen great and sore troubles? Maybe a great one, maybe a sore one. Some of you great and sore. Thou which has showed me great and sore troubles. Didn't mean he brought them. It's just, that's part of living. Didn't mean God brought them. It's just, you know, you've seen some things. Some great and sore troubles. Thou wilt quicken me again. And I'm reading my own writing here. And thou shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Amen. So though all of these great and sore troubles have come, he's going to comfort you on every side. This is because you've trusted his promise. This is because he's pleading your cause and he's going to deliver you. Why? According to your word. Back on verse 154. According to your word. Verse 155 says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not your statutes. Psalm 22:26 says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord and seek him. And your heart shall, and seek him, and your heart shall live forever. So the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. See, the salvation is far from the wicked because they don't seek him. We talked about earlier about seeking the Lord. Seek him. Seek his face. But the wicked don't want to do that. Look at Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, forsake them. and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And our God, again, I write these things out, but then I write them so tiny I can't. I put more in and I can't read them. That's right, yeah, and I got new eyes to try to work on it. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God for the will, for he will abundantly pardon.
Amen.
You knew that one. He will abundantly pardon. So if you're in the wicked state, just seek the Lord. Just tell somebody. All you need to do is seek the Lord. You know, you don't need to convince anybody. You don't need to beat somebody up. The Bible said the fields are white unto harvest.
Yes.
There are people looking for you. There are people looking for you. Amen? What did Jesus say when they went into the cities? He sent out the 12, then he sent out the 70. He sent them out, and he says, when you go into a city and declare, you know, go speak my word, and if they receive you, praise the Lord, go on into their house. But if they receive you not, what do you do?
Shake the dust off of you.
Shake the dust. You don't punch them? Put them in a headlock?
No.
Take them down and try to convince them? You know, God is pretty efficient with his time. If they don't want to receive you, you know, just move on. Move on. They're not ready. That one's not white. If it's not coming off the tree, if it's not white to harvest, it's not ready. So your job is, apologetics is kind of overrated because you're sitting there arguing with people just because you like to argue. Some people like to argue. You ever notice that?
Yes.
Some people like to argue and they're in the same house. Not us. Not us. But no, the Bible says, he tells you exactly how the circumstance is the field is white unto harvest. It is ready. There is a harvest out there. Just go, keep going. Keep moving. You're going to find somebody who agrees with you. We tell people that in politics. It's like, don't try to argue with that person on the doorstep that doesn't agree with you. Just move on to the next house and find you one who will agree with you, who will come out and vote for your guy.
Amen.
Otherwise, you've missed 7 or 8, 10 people on that morning just arguing with one character on the front step because you found somebody who wants to argue.
Go on.
How many know that's a waste of time? How many know guilt is a waste of time, by the way?
Yes.
Some people feel guilty and they don't do anything for anybody anywhere. They don't even do anything for themselves because they're busy feeling guilty. Guilt is not from Jesus.
Amen.
Guilt is not from God, Norman.
Amen.
Especially if you're Catholic, like Danny.
Amen.
You know, I mean, they know how to put it on, lay it on thick. Praise the Lord. Amen. Of course, the Protestants do their share. You know, it used to be the grace of God. Now it's Grace Church, and you get inside, and it's all law. What you should do, and what you ought to do, and what you need to do. Otherwise, we'll run you out. Grace of God. Praise the Lord. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 says, and listen to this, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to do it and to teach Israel his statutes and judgments. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the Lord. So the wicked, they're not seeking the Lord. But Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord. And to do it and to teach and to Israel the statutes and judgments. So His word is what teaches you and shows you what His promises are. John 3:18, of course, He says, he that believeth in Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hasn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. So this is what he's talking about here in verse 155. Salvation is far from the wicked. Why? Because they like evil. They like to do evil deeds, like most of us. In your flesh. In my flesh dwelleth, Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth what? No good thing. So quit looking in the mirror. It doesn't help. Yeah, I was going to go out looking good for God today, but just I think I'll just stay inside under the covers because I don't look good. I don't look good for God. Why don't you just stand in front of the mirror and just begin to rejoice?
Go on now.
Amen? Amen. It's good to rejoice because you'll change, your whole life has changed. Well, I don't want to. I don't feel like rejoicing. Well, yeah, then you never will. You need to just feel like you just need to rejoice and give thanks to God. Just open your mouth and He's going to transform you. Amen. That's the easiest thing you can do. I mean, you don't even have to do it in front of a person.
Just say so.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. All right? So the person, for everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. All right? Verse 156. Great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me according to your judgments. Now David, when he was with in front of the prophet Samuel after the incident with Bathsheba, he says, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. That verse we just read says, great are your tender mercies. O Lord, quicken me according to your judgments. So David understands. Hi, Peg. Praise the Lord. David understands the tender mercies of God.
Amen.
And he also understands the tender mercies of God are bigger than his sin. And it was a big one. It was a
five star.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. That was a 5-star sin. And David knew that the grace of God was 10 stars. The tender mercies of God were bigger than his biggest sin. You know, God's mercy is bigger than any sin you ever had.
Go on now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's bigger than any sin you ever had. Praise the Lord. And the biggest sin is not thinking you had any sins, thinking you didn't have any. That's the biggest sin you got, is not thinking you don't have any. You know, it's good to have sin because you qualify for the grace of God. You know, if you don't, I didn't come for the righteous, Jesus said. I didn't come for the righteous. I came for the wicked. I came for the sinner. You know, maybe you're not wicked. Maybe you're just a sinner. Maybe that sounds better to you. Okay? I came to call sinners to repentance, to turn around. And trust me and to believe God that it's not according to your works, but according to His mercy. So David said that. He says in Psalm 119, verse 156, great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Quicken me. Make me alive. Make me alive according to your judgment. Your word, His word makes me alive. Woohoo!
Amen.
His word makes me alive. I'm alive. I was kind of dead before, but I'm alive. You know, amen. So it's good. So he says, have mercy upon me according to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Psalm 86:5 says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee.
Amen.
There's no exception for big sinner, 5-star sinners. Amen. So God wants you to know right now that He's just always ready to have great mercy upon you, and just show you His goodness, show you His faithfulness. Amen. He's always calling you home, just like the father of the prodigal son. He's always waiting, looking out way out there on the road, and hoping that speck is you coming in to receive His promise, not to be come home to behave. I mean, He was going to come home to behave. My Father, I have sinned above all things to you. And he just ignored him, basically. And he had a speech written so that his dad would forgive him because he thought his dad was a hard dad and all that. His dad was just crying, and he just so glad to just see him come home.
Come on. Amen.
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 I know how that feels. Y'all know how that feels.
Yeah.
Have your child come home. Amen. How powerful is the mercy of God to transform a life, to transform a life. Amen? Another family I heard of, another one of our families that's having some kids restored, and you heard about that this week. So powerful. Amen? Because God's getting rid of all the anger and all the preconceived notions that didn't pan out the way somebody thought they would. You know, a lot of things, times we give kids the wrong idea that we're perfect. And we got it all right. We don't have it all right. We didn't mean to do that. We didn't mean to, you know, give them that idea, you know, because we know we don't. But we're just trying to save them from themselves. Amen?
Amen.
But, you know, then they get the wrong idea. Well, you just think you're perfect. No, I just know what's out there. And so that confusion just goes on and on. It goes on. And it ends up in hurt feelings and people running off. But thank God that He restores. So if you can't get them restored, I just want you to pray for them. Amen? You can't always fix things. Hallelujah. You can't always fix things, but what you want to do is you want to go out and you just want to express love. When they're grown, just don't correct them. Just tell them how much you love them. Amen?
Amen.
I know there's some behavior you don't want to enable. I get that. But just they need to know that you love them.
That's right.
I mean, I didn't say you had to move in and pay all their bills. I said, just tell them how much you love them. Tell them how much God loves them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's move on. So, verse 157 says, this is Psalm 118, verse 157. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not decline from your testimonies. So, though I have many enemies, though they're lined up on the left side and the right side, maybe it's not people. Maybe enemies is, could be work, could be physical, could be anything. Anything that has kind of got your attention above the love of God is an enemy. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Anything that has your attention above the love of God should have all of your attention.
Amen.
If anything else has your attention, that's an enemy.
Come on.
I didn't even have that written down. That was good. Anything that's got your attention more than it could be politics and those bad politicians. I was just down in Austin with a bunch of politician people the other day, and some of them can be my enemies, but I love them all. We have some folks down there who don't like each other. I like them all.
Yeah.
Amen? And there's some of them who don't agree with me, and I don't agree with them on their stuff, but I don't care. I love them. I love them. I love everybody. Amen? Even though the ones I don't love, I love them. Amen. Even the ones my head says I don't love them, and those that go, man, I just can't even get close to them. No, God says you love them because I love them.
Right.
How many know you love like Jesus loves? Well, yeah. Brother, I'm trying. No, stop that. You're not trying. You do. You already belong to Jesus. You already are a lover. You love every person just the way Jesus does. Every single one. There's no exceptions. And if you believe that's not the case, then you didn't believe Jesus. Because Jesus says, I'm in you to will and to do of my good pleasure.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, the living God, He's on the inside of you to will it and to do it. You're not going to do it, He's going to do it. Amen?
Amen.
So His Word is on the inside of you, and He's transforming you, changing you every day. And as you listen to the Word of God and sing and declare and say what God says about you rather than saying what you think or what somebody else said, you don't want to hear that. That's not helping you. That's not helping your neighbor. Certainly not helping you, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So many are my persecutors, verse 157, many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not decline from your testimonies. So though I have all these persecutions, and though I have all these troubles, I do not decline from His testimony. I used to like think, you know, I spent a little time suffering over those people that were persecuting me. You ever suffer under people that persecute you? Remember when I said guilt was a time waster? This is another time waster. Is suffering over your enemies. I'm going to spend about an hour just thinking about my enemies and how they're persecuting me and how I'm really, God won't let me get them. Thinking about how I'm angry that God won't let me get them. It's just these exercises that we do that have nothing to do with God's love and nothing to do with the Word of God that's on the inside of us. So we just, I'll tell you, the best thing you can do is just rejoice and say, thank you for my enemies. Thank you for my enemies. Thank you for those, I pray for them, that despitefully use it. Jesus said that. But the thing is when he said it, he was saying it to a group of Jews out on a mountain. And they didn't have any capacity. Because Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount was declaring everything that was going to take place after the Holy Ghost came on the inside of you. And then he said, don't leave. Remember what he said in the book of Acts? He said, don't leave home without the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Don't leave home without him. It's like American Express. You knew I was going to say that. Don't leave home without it. Because if you leave home without the Holy Spirit, you're no good to anybody. You're no good to God, no good to anybody. Because the Holy Spirit transforms you and the world around you.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit transforms you and the world around you.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
He does. Because he loves you.
Amen.
He's God. He's not just a spirit. He's God. He's Jesus in you. Jesus come to dwell on the inside of you. Jesus said, this is better. Well, Jesus, we just wish you would stay around. Well, why? Then you'd all have to have an appointment for an hour with him every week, and he'd have to be listening to your, you know, counseling. It's got to be the worst, right? You know, people listening to people's troubles, you know. But the Holy Spirit can just take care of you from the inside out. Amen? Just believe my promise. Just believe my promise. I mean, can you imagine Jesus sitting around with those 12? But most of the time, those 3 years is probably him sitting around talking to Thomas and talking to, you know, Peter and talking to James. Well, what about, you know, this and that, you know? And he's talking to them. I mean, he probably after about 3 years, he's tired and want to go home. So he says, I'm going to send you guys a comforter. This is going to be great. You're going to like it. It's going to be the most awesome idea. He's going to live on the inside of you, and he's going to transform you and change you. And you can't complain to him. Well, you can, but he's a spirit. What are you going to do? You do like to have somebody to complain to, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not Pastor Jim, it's me. My phone number's unlisted. I remember he says his phone is far away from the bedroom. So he has time to pray before the phone ring, while the phone's ringing at midnight. Hello? I'm waiting for you. I was waiting for your call. Took some time to get to that point from the bedroom to the kitchen. Amen. You know how you would be. Who is that calling me at this hour of the night? Some of our references here for that 157, it says, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from your law. Psalm 119:51. Verse 119:10 says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from your precepts. Now, so his precepts are what keep you. His promises are what keep you. Amen?
Yeah.
They do. His promises keep me. He says, I know that what he promised, he's able to perform. None of my enemies have any problem. There's no problem with them. They're fine. I love them all. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, and then 16. Listen to this. I love this. We are troubled on every side, yet not in distress, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So, we're troubled on every side. Okay, that's the problem. But we're not distressed. I'm not stressed. Amen. Isn't that you? We're troubled. We used to be stressed. Not stressed anymore. Because I've got the promise. You know, before I had the promise, I was like, man, this is no good. I'm really stressing out. This is no good. Or, you know, we're perplexed. And if you're perplexed, it's kind of like, hey, God, I don't even know what's going on. I'm just fixing the crater right here. But he says, we're not in despair. Amen? I'm not in despair. So I'm not distressed. I'm not in despair. I'm not forsaken. And I'm not destroyed. Hallelujah. Though all these other things are happening around me, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with the joy of the Lord. The peace of God rules in my heart. Amen? Is that you? Now, come on. Don't call me Monday and say it didn't work. No, it's already working. Verse 16 of the same chapter, 2 Corinthians 4, says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day." My inward man is renewed every day. I'm just being revved up every day. Amen? I'm being empowered every day by the Holy Ghost. That's who I am. Now, do I feel like it? I don't care. I got to where I don't care because I don't believe, because I've done it enough. So, I didn't feel like it. No, it doesn't matter whether you feel like it. What you know is the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I rejoice, it's awesome. It's good. Things are going my way. All right, verse 158 says, "I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word." So that's in your heart. You're looking at the transgressors going, "Man, I want to teach those people the word of God. I want to come and show them the love of God." That's who you are. So you're not mad at the transgressors, but you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to come. Amen. Because the love of God. Jesus said, "I would have gathered you, O Jerusalem, but you would not." He saw them in such horrible state, and He wanted to go gather them up and bring them to Himself, but they just ran like chickens, you know. Amen. They just wouldn't be comforted. Isaiah says to comfort yourself. Isaiah 40 says to comfort yourself.
Amen.
Comfort yourself. Say, "Pastor Jim's here, so I'm preaching his message." Is to comfort yourself. Comfort yourself. That seems a little presumptuous. No, He comes to you and say, "Comfort yourself. You're forgiven. All of your sins are covered. Amen. Everything's okay."
Amen.
See, if you'll continue to preach that and teach that and tell somebody that and just get them to agree to walk in that for a week.
Amen.
Amen? Just walk in that for a week. And the Holy Spirit begins to transform you. Your mind begins to be changed. Your heart begins to be brought into the kingdom of God rather than living in the kingdom of this world.
Amen.
People just live in the kingdom of this world. You know, what was it? Where were we? We stopped at McDonald's. We were driving back from Austin this morning. Here it is Sunday morning. Studying the message. We stop at McDonald's. I walk into the little room that you stop at McDonald's. And they've got... they had some kind of country music going in there, and I was going like, "This is disturbing." You know, it was fine. The song wasn't gross or anything, but it was fine. But I was thinking, man, I just want to worship God, and here's this country music thing going on. I mean, you could have country worship, that's fine. But I mean, it wasn't talking about the love of Jesus. It wasn't talking about the power of God. It's because that's what I look for. Amen? And so when you on Monday, that's what you want to look for. On Tuesday, that's what you want to look for. You just want to, well, it's Sunday, so we're going to do that. No, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you want to be looking for that.
Right.
You want to be looking for the living God. And when it's not, it's kind of go, okay. No, because you want to take Him with you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Because we're so used to 5 days a week living in junk.
Uh-huh.
And so we kind of put up with it. Amen?
Yeah.
But no, you want to live in the Holy Spirit 5 days a week, 7 days a week. You want to live in the living God. Amen. And it's like you walk into a place and you're going, "Whoa, okay, praise the Lord. This it feels odd, you know, when people aren't worshiping God where you are. Because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You love God. I mean, Danny works by himself, so that's kind of comforting, isn't it? You know, you don't have to mess with people. You know, some folks, you come in and you mess with people from first minute you walk in the door. Some of them, 7 a.m., 6 a.m. All right. Mark chapter 3, verse 5 says, "And when he had looked around about upon them with anger," being grieved for the hardness of their heart, "he said to the man who's had the withered hand, 'Stretch forth your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other." So Jesus said, was beholding those transgressors. I mean, they were religious people. How many know religious people can be transgressors? Do you know that? Big ones. They can be big transgressors. So he says, and when Jesus says, and or the Mark says this about Jesus, and when he had looked around about the room with anger, being, what's his word? What's that word? Grieved for the hardness of their heart. He was grieved for the hardness of their heart. Jesus was grieved. He looked around about them with anger. He was grieved for the hardness of their heart. Was it time to quit? Oh, man. I got another 6 pages. Oh, my God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Preach faster. Amen. All right, Psalm 119:53 says, horror has taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake your law. Why? Why does that happen? It's because you have the heart of God. Horror has taken hold of me because of the ones who don't follow your word. Because they forsake your law. They're forsaking their own lives. It's kind of like watching that movie. Don't go in there! You know, you watch that movie where you know what's going to happen next. You know, he's going to, and there's a lion behind the door or something, you know. And you're going, don't go in there. You know, that's what he's talking about, is that we're afraid of what's going to happen to these people. Remember Paul, he said, I wish I could be accursed for my brethren.
Yes.
Because I know what's coming.
Yeah.
Because I know what's coming. That's the love of God. I mean, that you would go ahead and be as Jesus did and he took everything for you. But that's your heart. That's your heart. Rivers of water run down my eyes because they keep not your law. I'm just weeping. Verse 159 says, consider how I love your precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Consider how I love your precepts. That's not a good work on his part. That's because the living God has already indwelt him and he has agreed with the love of God. Now, you may not feel it, but you know you don't feel it, and you're not worried about it because you know that the living God is covering you. He's covering me. So even though I know that I'm not claiming that I've been anywhere and arrived anywhere, but I know that he has. Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, therefore, quicken me according to your loving kindness. Finish the walk. God, finish the job. Finish the work. Finish the work. I know that I'm not receiving the fullness. I'm not seeing the fullness of the promise because I still see sin. And I want to be delivered from this. I want to be delivered from this. I want the whole thing. Now, in my flesh, I probably don't. But I don't listen to my flesh. Because the Spirit of the Lord has already informed me that my flesh is dead. My flesh is dead. How many of you are dead? I mean, do you know that you're dead? Dead, dead. You're dead. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Go figure. How's that work? That's something you cannot understand. I am crucified. I'm dead. I'm dead with him. I'm dead with him. Well, you still happen to see something out of the corner of your eye in that mirror going, doesn't look dead. Looks pretty much alive to me. Looks alive and sinning. Yeah, it's looking a little bit like that. A little slippery, slithery. Looks like a snake. Consider how I love your precepts. Quicken me according to your loving kindness. Lord, just come in with your loving kindness and transform and change that right there. That there. That there. As wicked, and it's keeping me from getting to the fullness of the promise. So thank you for just delivering me right there. Isaiah 63:7 says, I will mention thy loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. That's his love. So the multitude of his loving kindnesses. So he's got a multitude of tender mercies, and he's got a multitude of loving kindnesses. I've never read that before. the multitude of his loving kindnesses. So that's the Father. That's the Father coming in, expecting you to walk in the door. He's not really listening to anything you have to say. Just when you come in the door, having come to the end of your ability to do anything. Psalm 119, verse 45 says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts." That's how you seek his precepts. That's how you walk at liberty, is I'm seeking his precepts. One more verse. Thy word, Ray, why don't you come step up here? You can still hear me. I know how to hurry this along. See, I'll get the guitar player working. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. Thy word is true from the beginning. Well, what does that sound like? John 1:1, doesn't it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So your word is true from the beginning, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. James 1:8 says, "Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth." So his word is truth, and he begat you and me with the word of truth. We were begotten from his word. Amen? Because we're begotten of through Jesus. We're begotten of the word. Jesus was begotten of God. He's the only begotten Son of God. We're the sons of his word. We're the sons of his word. So of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Jesus prayed for us. John 17 said, Jesus' prayer to the Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth." So he redeems us and then he sanctifies us. So he does all the work. How many know you don't do the work? Maybe you didn't know. I'm here to tell you. He says that good work he began in you, he's going to complete. The good work I began in you, I want you guys to go ahead and just keep it going. Do the best you can with what you got. No, he never said that. He said, the good work that he began in you, he will complete it until the day that Jesus returns.
Amen.
That's the day of Jesus Christ, the day he returns. Finally, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 says, "But the word of the Lord endures forever." And there's no problem. His word endures forever. So the word that begat you is the word that keeps you. And you know, he says, "The word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you." So, again, we're looking through all these scriptures. What's he talking about? He's talking about, "For I do not forget your law. Quicken me according to your word." The problem is they don't seek your statutes. "O Lord, quicken me according to your judgments. I do not decline from thy testimonies." The problem is they didn't keep. Now, what's the word on keep? Listen. The word on keep is to hold, is to regard and to observe and to keep as valuable and precious. To keep his word, the word natsar or sat, natsar, and then there's another one, satar, S-A-W-T-A-R, is not to do like obey that command. But the word, those two words both mean the same thing. And they are both translated keep. Keep thy commands. Keep thy word. Keep thy statutes. Is to hold them dear. Is to observe them and to regard them and to hold them as valuable and precious. In other words, this is your life. This word is your life. This promise is your life. This is what is beneficial and needful for you. So he says, keep that. Keep it. If you're going to throw something away, throw something else away. But keep this. Keep the statutes. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we just rejoice and thank you for this good word. thank you for the kingdom of heaven, which is in our hearts and causing us to be transformed and changed. Thank you, Lord God, that these are your promises for us. These are not commands that we can or should do, but they're commands that Jesus is fulfilling on the inside of us and transforming us. And we believe your promise that what you began, you are ready and willing to perform. So, Father, we cast off our burdens and our cares today upon you. We thank you for this psalm, which is now 160 verses and not done yet, talking about the value of your word to change our life and to transform us into your image. So we give you praise. We give you thanks. We love you with all of our hearts. We're not checking our feelings. We love you with all of our hearts. And we run to enter into your presence, O Lord God, so that we daily are loving our enemies, preaching the gospel, and have no worries and cares because you love us so much. All of our needs are supplied in Jesus' name. And we give you praise. Amen. 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 As we give today, just let the Lord lead you. And God's doing a great work in you. And Brother Ray's going to bless us.
Shackled by heavy burden, all bent beneath the load of care. Oh, but then the hand of Jesus, he touched me, and now I'm no longer the same. Oh, he touched me. Yes, he touched me. And oh, the joys that flood my soul. Well, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Oh, Jesus touched me. Yes, Jesus touched me. And oh, the joys that flood my soul. Oh, something happened, and now I know Jesus touched me and made me whole. Amen. I'm glad Jesus touched us. Amen. And I've heard the 119th Psalm preached quite a bit, but I like the way he's doing it, 8 verses at a time. Now, if he would have preached 176 of us today, we'd been here a while, wouldn't we? Amen. Well, I like that 8 verses at a time. That's great. Amen. Well, there's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. Oh, when I'm tossed, you know it sends out a light that I might see. Well, then the light that shines in the darkest night shall safely lead me o'er. And if it wasn't for that big lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. King Jesus, he's my lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, oh, he has shown his light around me that I could clearly see. And if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would Ray Jackson be? Now everybody that lives around Fort Worth, Texas, says, why don't you tear that old lighthouse down? They say the big ships ain't gonna come around College Avenue anymore. There ain't no use in it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time Janet saw the light, oh well, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. Oh well, I owe my life to Him. Oh King Jesus, He's my big lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, oh, He has shown His light around me that I could clearly see. And if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this church be?